Chapter 26 Gagarin Dock B.
Tessa, are you there?
The speakers popped.
Hey, Callie. Yes, here I am. I'm here. We're ready for you.
We're just about in position, said Jake. Get ready with that docking sleeve.
I'm ready. Don't worry. I had the hard locks open 10 minutes ago.
Anubis swung to the right and Callie wobbled in the space between the seats. She grabbed the arm of the chair and willed her body not to lose its balance. A weak shiver ran up through her bones.
I'm going to go grab the meteor.
Jake glanced at her.
You up to it?
In a few minutes, we have to run about 250 meters. I better be up to it.
He grunted and turned his attention back to the heads-up display. A few light hops carried her through the buggy's main room and back to the suit ports. She found a pair of thick work gloves in a locker and pulled them over her hands. The small airlock between ports B and C popped open, and she flinched from the quick puff of cold. Her clumsy fingers found the handles of the Aeron bag and tugged. A few moments of wrestling worked it out of the hatch. It bobbed up in the air before the straps settled down onto her arm. Anubis slowed to a halt. Callie's feet shifted, her shoulders swayed, and the bag swung on her arm. She didn't fall. She wobbled forward and found Jake already in the main cabin. He pulled the buggy's big first aid kit down from the wall, unfurled a strap, and slung it over his shoulder. Then he yanked open another cabinet and pulled out a small Osiris bag. Callie nodded at the second bag.
What's that?
Mine. Some extra supplies.
Like what?
Bottle of whiskey, that pistol I mentioned, 31 rounds of ammo.
You were serious about the pistol?
Hell yeah. Glock 108 with a double-stacked mag. Damned near indestructible, and they can shoot in a vacuum.
Really?
Yep, any firearm can. These are just designed for it, so they're a lot more accurate.
He slung the bag over his other shoulder.
31's a weird number.
Shipping them up one round at a time, like I said. 32 was supposed to be here next month.
She tapped her fingers on the Aeron bag.
Newbie, how long until we dock?
About 3 minutes, Callie. The docking sleeve is currently moving into position.
Callie set the Aeron bag down on the floor. Jake furrowed his brow.
What's up?
I want to take a look at it before we get going.
Why?
Because if we're right, dozens of people have died because of this thing. I want to see it.
You think that's safe?
I think if there's anything coming off it that can hurt us, you and I are already screwed.
She knelt next to the bag and flexed her fingers inside the heavy gloves.
Okay, but if looking at it turns you into a zombie, I'm breaking your neck right here and now.
Callie sighed, loudly.
Will you please stop trying to get into my pants?
He laughed, an actual, honest laugh. Then he pulled a blocky pistol from his bag and pushed a magazine into it. Her fingers found the oversized ring at the end of the zipper and pulled. The bag opened with the slithery sound of metal teeth. Her breath caught in her throat. Nothing lashed out at them. No soft light spilled from the bag. No whispery hums echoed from within.
So, said Jake, it's a rock.
Looks like,
she agreed, pushing down the edges of the bag. The meteorite was the size and rough shape of a large watermelon. A series of small ripples covered a third of the gray-yellow stone, like petrified waves. The other surfaces were rough and uneven.
It must be hollow. It can't be this big and weigh so little.
Moon, said Jake.
Even so, it still feels pretty light. There's not much mass to it.
Maybe it's volcanic pumice or something.
He gestured at some of the ripples and curls across its surface.
Looks like it might have been melted. Maybe got too close to the sun at some point.
Maybe.
She brushed one of the curls, then tilted her head to look at the edges, where the curves came to abrupt, jagged ends.
You know what it looks like to me?
A big, half-melted rock?
A brain.
What?
Well, part of a brain. Look at the wrinkles here and here.
Callie gestured at the yellow-gray stone.
It's like more of it broke off.
Or this part got broken off the rest of it.
Awful big brain. Jake looked at the edges, held out his hands, widened the space between his palms. If this was, what, an eighth of it, maybe, the whole thing would probably be bigger than a desk. Nothing has a brain that big.
Whales do. Pretty close to that size.
Yeah? She shrugged.
Had to take a couple gen ed courses along with all the dance.
You think somebody shot a whale into space?
Don't be stupid. It might not even be from inside the solar system. Hell, this thing could be from another galaxy.
Jake glanced out the windshield at the figures standing in front of the buggy. So it's a fossilized space whale brain that's making zombies? She rolled her eyes as she tugged the sides of the bag back up over the meteorite and zipped it shut.
I just said it looks like a brain, that's all.
Well, I think it looks like a half-melted pile of shit, and I'll be happy once it's locked in the vault. Jake reached down and scooped up the Aron bag.
Who's carrying that, you or me?
He gave her a confused look. Well, I'm stronger.
You're already carrying a bunch of stuff. It's light, and I'm faster.
I'd give you faster normally, but half an hour ago you almost froze solid.
So did you.
He shook his head. Hypothermia, at best. I had 20 seconds of exposure. Tops.
Are we actually arguing over who gets to carry the meteorite?
Jake opened his mouth, closed it again.
Yeah, sorry, too much crisis training.
He slung the bag's handles over her outstretched hand.
You're faster, even with the frozen legs.
Thanks.
But if I pass you, I'm grabbing it.
If you pass me, you better.
I will.
But it's not going to happen.
Now who's being difficult?
Just honest.
We're ready on this end, said Gordon's voice. Some folks standing by to help you out if it gets hairy. Docking sleeve should be in place and pressurized in 35 seconds. Tessa's ready on the hatch. Make it quick, because there's about 150 of these goddamn things 3 minutes from the dock. If they pull the sleeve apart, well, we won't be able to keep the hatch open. It'll seal automatically.
Callie looked out the small porthole at the flexing sleeve of the dock as it settled against Anubis. Beside her, Jake flexed his fingers on the pistol's grip. He looked up at one of the buggy's interior cameras.
How's the hallway look?
Looks clear, said Gordon. But it's over 200 meters long, and we've only got cameras on half of it. Could be a few lurking in there we can't see.
Fantastic, Callie murmured.
You ready?
Asked Jake.
I guess so.
Servos hummed. The side hatch inched forward with a hiss of air. Cold steam outlined it and prickled Callie's skin. Her stomach knotted, and the memory of her helmet seal opening replayed 3 times in as many seconds. The hatch slid away and revealed Gagarin Avenue, a long tunnel of lunacrete with a few ceiling lights, empty up to the first bend, almost 30 meters away. Jake leaped out. Callie hit the ground a moment after him, her arms wrapped around the Aron bag. They bounded down the hall. The first bend came up fast. She'd already caught up to him. They exchanged a look. The two of them leaped around the bend without slowing, running up along the far wall and jumping across the opening for a connecting hallway. The next stretch was empty, too. Another 40 meters of safety. Callie pulled ahead. The Aron bag slipped in her arms. It was twice the size of the meteorite, and the material shifted beneath her embrace. She tried to hook her left arm beneath it, and her gait lost its rhythm, almost making her stumble in the low gravity. Jake caught up, looked at her, looked at the bag. She tightened her grip and threw herself forward. They rounded the next corner and almost collided with the woman standing there. She had orange-yellow hair shaved down almost to a buzz cut, Her jumpsuit marked her as part of the Luna City maintenance crew. Flakes of vacuum-dried blood crusted the skin below her nose and ears. It dotted the front of her jumpsuit. One of her eyes had been reduced to a grayish jelly. Callie twisted around the dead woman, went airborne, and hit the avenue's wall. She coughed out a breath, and her cracked tooth sent a throb of hot needles down into her jaw. The bag slipped in her arms again, squeezed away by her grip. She loosened her hold, shifted her arms, and fell to the floor. The zombie reached for her. It shuffled forward, bent down, stretched its desiccated fingers out. And out. And. The creature slipped into slow motion and came to a halt. Its hands stopped less than half a meter from Callie's throat. It stared at her with its remaining eye. Callie pushed herself up and away, let the bag slide until the handles were in her hands again, and swung hard. The meteorite slammed into the dead woman and knocked her across the hallway. She hit the far wall with a crack, and the force of impact sent her stumbling back down the avenue and sliding across the floor. She slid another 2 meters before coming to rest, then rolled over and crawled back toward Callie. A thunderclap rang out in the narrow tunnel. The dead woman jerked. Gore spewed farther in lunar gravity. What didn't hit the wall hung in the air before drifting toward the ground. Jake fired 2 more times. On the third shot, the woman's head twisted up and to the left. She slumped to the floor. "Come on," he shouted. They ran in great, bounding strides that carried them half a meter off the floor of the long straightaway. Jake shot at an elderly dead man up ahead, missed, and the bullet sparked off the wall. He raised his elbow and plowed into the man, clearing a path for Callie. She covered the last few meters in 3 big strides. Her boots scratched and slid along the floor. Another figure stood between her and the main hatch, a skeletal man in a deep blue suit. He staggered toward her, and she threw herself into the air, hitting him with a flying kick. The impact hurled the dead man back to smash against the hatch. Callie bounced off the man and landed on her feet.
"Tessa!"
shouted Callie, looking up at the camera.
"Open it!"
The dead man grabbed at her ankle. She fought back but couldn't break his grip. She swayed and fell. Her foot lashed out again, and she heard the man's nose crunch under her heel. She kicked him again and again, moving from the head to the shoulder to the upper arm. The fingers finally slipped from her other ankle. Jake appeared, grabbed the man's feet, and dragged him away from her. He stepped over the body, his foot coming down on the dead man's skull, and pushed himself forward. The zombie bounced up and wrapped his fingers around Jake's knee. He twisted around, raising his pistol, and lost his balance. 2 shots punched into the dead man's shoulder. The elderly dead man approached. His jaw hung at an angle, dragging his lips down. He limped forward to join the fight, arms up. The hatch doors split apart and retracted into the walls. Light and fresh air poured into the avenue from the central plaza. Callie could see 3 or 4 figures standing there. One of them, a tall, athletic-looking woman with jet-black hair Callie vaguely recognized from the patrols, stepped forward, her fists raised to one side of her chin. Callie rolled, keeping the bag tight against her body, and lunged toward the open hatch. Another one of the patrol members, a skinny man, grabbed her arm and tugged her forward. The athletic woman held a gray and blue baseball bat. She took 2 sliding steps past Jake and brought it down on the back of the blue-suited zombie's head. The impact slammed it to the floor, breaking its hold on Jake, who staggered forward and bounced through the hatch. Callie looked up at Tessa, poised by the door controls. Their eyes met for an instant. Tessa smiled, and then an alarm shrieked at them. The wind yanked at Tessa's bangs, tugging them toward the Gagarin Arch.
"Marianne!"
she yelled. The doors slid. The woman lunged for the hatch and slowed to a halt, her straight hair curling in the wind. The elderly dead man had twisted his fingers into her hair. She threw herself forward, and Callie turned, reached, stretched out her hand. Jake coiled his body tight on the plaza cobblestones and threw himself back to his feet. He raised the pistol and tried to line up on the zombie behind the woman. His mouth twisted into a scowl, and he took a quick step to his right.
"Callie, get down!"
The blue-suited zombie rose up and grabbed at Marianne's waist, pressing its crushed and battered nose into her stomach. Marianne brought a knee up to kick it, but it held her too tight. She thrust the baseball bat down on the top of its head. Callie glanced back at Jake and crouched low.
"Drag it in!"
she shouted to the other woman. Marianne threw one leg forward, dragging the dead man with her, and her fingers brushed the edges of the archway. She screamed, heaved a little farther. Her fingers were centimeters from Callie's. Then her eyes flitted side to side, and she yanked her hand back. The avenue doors thudded together and sealed the archway shut. Jake snarled.
"Open it!" yelled Callie. "Quick!"
Tessa shifted.
"I can't. It's an emergency seal because of the—"
"You just opened it for us."
"I could override it because there was an atmosphere on the other side. This is a breach. It's sealed until we can restore pressure."
Callie kicked the door and knocked herself back onto the cobblestones. Another alarm went off. Tessa glanced at the door controls, then her tab.
"There's been another breach. This one's over in Aldrin. They're trying to get in."
She looked at the Aran bag in Callie's arms.
"Sheriff Gordon's waiting for you in the lab."
Callie turned and leaped across the plaza towards Celine Boulevard. She shot a quick glance over her shoulder and saw Jake following her. They skirted the bare and withered Armstrong tree and swung around past the hotel. A large figure rose up from one of the benches in front of the hotel. Russ Gilliman. He took a few steps, tried to fall in alongside them.
"I'm so glad to see both of you safe and—"
"Not now,"
said Callie.
"I was just wondering if I could pause—"
"Not now."
She and Jake ran past the prospector and down Celine. They passed almost no one on the boulevard, although Callie glimpsed figures in the grocery store and one of the restaurants. Unlike Gilliman, most people seemed to be heeding the warnings to stay in their rooms. The door to the lab was open for them. Gordon stood waiting across the room by the open safe. Its door was as thick as Callie's palm was wide.
"I tried to make room for it," said the sheriff,
waving her forward. She gathered the bag around the meteorite, compacting it as much as she could. It looked like Gordon had pulled out one of the shelves, dumping a collection of papers and envelopes onto the floor of the safe.
"What are those?"
"A couple claims for big fines," Gordon said. "Some reports, stuff people want to make absolutely sure there's going to be a record of. Nothing we need to worry about."
Callie stuffed the bag on top of them, one of the pages accordioned beneath the duffel as she shoved it inside. She tucked the handles up over the bag and stepped back. Gordon pushed the door closed with a clang. He slapped a button on the keypad. The vault trembled as the bolts shot home. They stared at each other. Callie took a few more breaths. Her tooth ached.
"So," said Jake, "now what?"